good to see you this morning. We trust that everybody's having a great day and just enjoying the bright, bright sunshine that was out there. All of you who have white cars, I hope that you put like a red flag or something up so that you would be able to find your car when you leave the service today. But, you know, it's just kind of a mess out there. And I want to thank you for making the effort and for coming here and just wanting to worship the Lord together. This morning, we're going to open with a word of prayer here. And I want to talk to you about seven questions that you want to ask yourself when making a life decision. And so as we work our way through, you want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. We're going to be looking at some various things here. So please open up your Bibles to that. 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. And let's open with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. We thank you for these who have come out today. We ask that your Spirit would just bless them and encourage them. And Father, may our hearts be strangely warmed by your presence here. We thank you for the team and for the performance that they did this morning. And just ask now, Lord, that we would be able to focus upon your word. Lord, I ask that you would make us each wise so that we would make decisions that would be honoring to you and a blessing to others. For it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. Decisions, decisions, decisions. We're all faced with them. Every day, it seems like we are faced with various decisions that we have to make. And as believers in Christ, we should be making decisions that honor God in everything that we do. Every kind of a decision needs to be something that we consider when it comes to the Word of God, the will of God, the influence of God, and our influence on this world. And this morning I want to share with you just seven questions to ask yourself whenever you're faced with a decision. And we're going to take them out of 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. The very first thing is this: does this decision help or hinder my witness? Does it help or hinder my witness? In other words, if I make this particular decision, am I really going to have a clear testimony in what we're in what I'm doing here? It wasn't too terribly long ago. I was talking with a young lady who's, by the way, not from this area, although she was from one of our churches. And I was talking with her because she had this isn't going to work very well. She had decided no. Look what Paul says. He says, free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all that I might win the more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I might become a fellow partaker of it. Verse 23 added in there. You see, we are witnesses. We are examples. And everything that we do reflects not just on our own life, but on Christ. And as people watch us and they observe what is taking place in our lives, they are judging Christ based upon our lives. And so if we are faced with a decision, that's the very first thing that we need to ask ourselves is this going to help or is this decision going to hinder my witness for Christ? Am I going to be able to be more effective for Him, or am I going to be less effective? Or am I going to bring shame on Him? And so that's the very first question that we ought to ask ourselves when we are faced with a decision. Second, does it help or hinder others to know Christ? Does this decision help them or hinder them? Look at chapter 10, verses 31 through 33. Paul is continuing on in this same vein, and he says this. He says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved." You want to know something? What Paul is saying here is that, boy, if I make a decision, what's it going to do for someone else? I have freedom, but I also have responsibility. I have opportunity, and I have responsibility. This is very irritating. I'm going to tell you, it's very irritating. But what do you do? And so, does it help others to know Christ better? And as we make then those particular decisions in life, we need to consider what someone else is going to be thinking. Well, you know what? I don't care what other people think. Well, you know what? The most unchristian statements that you can make, you better care what other people think. You are called to be a representative in this world. You are called to be a witness and a testimony. And so you should always ask yourself, does this decision help or hinder someone else from knowing Christ? Number three, does it cause me to violate any scripture or does it cause me to sin? Am I violating scripture or is this going to be a decision of sin? You know, I always get concerned when I begin to see young people starting to date. I really do. I get concerned because it's so easy to get caught up in the emotions and the feelings and throw away the morals. It's too easy. And when I begin to see young people hanging on each other and that kind of thing, that sends off warning signals. And you know, it's that way not just with kids. Understand me. It's that way with adults as well. Does this cause me to violate Scripture? You know, the Scriptures deal very strongly with the issues of morals. They really do. They deal very strongly with it. And young people should consider that when developing a relationship and entering into a relationship, because it's so easy to get caught up. You know, it just feels so good type of a thing that they're just kind of throwing away a lot of opportunity and a lot of witness. And I know there's a lot of people don't like to hear that kind of thing, but you know what? Study the scriptures. Young people, if you're going to date, pray together before you ever go on a date. Make sure you do that. Pray together before you ever leave the house. Young people, if you are going to begin to date, be cautious and realize that other people are watching you. Adults are watching you. And they're going to establish their belief system in right and wrong, depending on what they see from you. And the most important thing of all is that God is watching you. And He knows what takes place in the darkened car, in the darkened room, in that moment when morals are thrown aside and passions are submitted to. Be cautious. Does this decision cause me to violate any scripture or cause me to sin? Is it okay if I take just that one drink? And certainly one drag of pot's not going to hurt anybody or anything. Or whatever the decision is it going to cause you to sin? Or is it going to violate Scripture? Be cautious. Number four, am I thinking only of myself, or am I considering the other person? By the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, does it cause me to violate any scripture or cause me to sin? Number three, let's look at that. I'm sorry, I forgot to read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 reads like this: therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When you're making a decision that might violate scripture or morality, consider that. All right, now number four. Am I thinking of myself, or am I considering the other person? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Always consider the impact that your decision is going to have on another person or other people. That becomes a very, very important spiritual principle. Number five, am I acting lovingly or selfishly? Am I acting lovingly or selfishly? Look at verses 28 through 30. We will probably include verse 31, but I want us to notice 28 through 30. But if anyone should say to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. You know, you can eat bugs if you want. You know, you can eat snakes. I don't care. You know, you can eat alligators, all right, worms, really doesn't matter. You have freedom to eat. But if what you take is an offense to the person that you're with, consider them. That's why when you invite a Jewish family to your home for dinner, you don't serve pork. You know you can eat pork, right? Probably most people in this room eat pork in one form or another. How many here like pork chops? I like pork chops. How many here like ham? Okay, now there's going to be fewer. How many here like pig's feet? I don't care if they're pickled, fried, baked, boiled, broiled. I don't care. You notice not very many hands went up on the pig's feet thing. Yeah, yeah, there is a reason for that. But, you know, in reality, even though you have that freedom to go ahead and eat all the pork you want, it's an offense to a Jew to be served pork. And so if you have a Jewish friend and you say, hey, come on over, we're going to have dinner, and that Jewish friend's going, all right. And then they show up and you place before them a big plate of pork chops, you offend them. And Paul says, look, whatever you do, whether you eat, whatever you drink, consider the others, what they may feel. Having been an alcoholic, it would be very offensive to me to have somebody set a beer in front of me, or my drink of choice, a shot of vodka. That would be offensive. And you see, that type of thing can cause someone else to violate their own conscience, even to sin. And so Paul says, consider what others are going to think. Pay attention to that. All right? Number six. Am I glorifying God, or could I invite Jesus to go with me? Is this decision I'm going to make, could I take Jesus with me? Could I take Jesus into, let's see, what's one I drive by? Rascals. Not very many people responded. How many people know what Rascals is? Rascals is a blight on Corey. I'll just say it bluntly. As is all the other bars in town. Could I take Jesus into Rascals? If I couldn't, I shouldn't be there. Could I take Jesus into that R-rated movie? If I couldn't, I shouldn't be there. You see, folks, those things may be lawful, but they're not profitable. And they can affect other individuals. They can affect us. I'm not sure why it is that so many Christians want to see how close they can skate to the edge of the cliff that leads to sin instead of staying as far away from it as they possibly can. Why is that? I want to prove that I am strong. I don't need to drink, so I'm going into Rascals, and I'm going to have a Coke. Last I knew, they served Coke at every gas station, every restaurant, every place in town, including the Surigliano household. You don't need to go into a bar to prove anything. Going into a bar is a negative thing. There's a guy who bowls on the league that Randy and Pat and I bowl on. And they'll know who this is. You probably won't, so I'm not going to give you a name. But every Wednesday bar, reeking of the smell of alcohol, talking about all the people he witnessed to this week. And I'll tell you, his witness means nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. Pastor, you're judging him. No, just inspecting the fruit. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. See, that's not judgment. Judgment would be if I were to say to him, hey, going to hell. That's not my privilege. That's God's. But to say to him, you know, do you really think that you're honoring God by being stupid with alcohol? Let him think. Folks, we need to guard this gift of salvation that God has given us. We need to protect it. And when we're making decisions, we need to consider what are the ramifications of that decision on the life of other individuals. How are they going to respond? Am I glorifying God? Could I invite Jesus to go into the bar at the bowling alley with me? Number 7. Will my actions cause someone else to sin? Will my actions cause someone else to sin? It's very self-explanatory. Because if the decision that you make is not a decision that glorifies God, is not a decision that brings honor to Christ, then your decision can cause someone else to sin. And it's the wrong decision. Boyfriends and girlfriends, the sexual pressures, you can cause that other individual to sin. Guard that. Protect that. Christian, consider the fact that the decisions that you make can cause someone else to sin. Watch that. Guard it. Protect yourself. Protect that other individual. Always bothers me when I hear of people saying, you've set your standards too high. Boyfriends, girlfriends, there are no standards too high. Always consider Christ first. And protect yourself. And protect the other individual as well. Protect the gift of salvation. Let's stand. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to indwell us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to give us guidance, direction, leadership. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom reveals to us the truths in your word. Now, Father, don't let us be stubborn. Lord, I know after this service that there are going to be those who walk out these doors and they're going to say, that's none of his business. But Father, I'm going to tell you, you have made it our business through your word. I pray for everyone in this room today that they will seriously, seriously, seriously consider the consequences of behaviors that don't honor you. Father, help us each and every one to examine our motives, to guard our passions, to protect our gifts, to follow you as closely as we can. Father, keep us away from the edge of the abyss and keep us focused on the path to you, which is straight and narrow, does not have pitfalls in it. Father, thank you for, again, for these who have come out. And I pray and ask that you would just bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, and glorify yourself through their lives. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being here. Please give us a moment to get to the back to greet you and have a great day in Jesus.